The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. While they were still talking to the people, the priests came up to them, accompanied by the captain of the temple and the Sadducees. They were extremely annoyed at their teaching the people the doctrine of the resurrection from the dead by proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. They arrested them, but as it was already late, they held them till the next day. But many of those who had listened to their message became believers, the total number of whom had now risen to something like 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes had a meeting in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, Jonathan, Alexander, and all the members of the high priestly families. They made the prisoners stand in the middle and began to interrogate them. By what power and by whose name have you men done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, addressed them. Rulers of the people and elders, if you are questioning us today about an act of kindness to a cripple and asking us how he was healed, then I'm glad to tell you all, and would indeed be glad to tell the whole people of Israel, that it was by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the one you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By this name and by no other, that this man is able to stand up perfectly healthy here in your presence today. This is the stone rejected by you, the builders, but which has proved to be the keystone. For of all the names in the world given to men, this is the only one by which we can be saved. And to our gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. Later on, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. It was by the Sea of Tiberias, and it happened like this. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two more of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. They replied, we'll come with you. They went out and got into the boat, but caught nothing that night. It was light by now, and there stood Jesus on the shore, though the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus called out, have you caught anything, friends? And when they answered, no, he said, throw the net out to starboard, and you'll find something. So they dropped the net, and there were so many fish that they could not haul it in. The disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. At these words, it is the Lord, Simon Peter, who had practically nothing on, wrapped his cloak round him and jumped into the water. The other disciples came on in the boat, towing the net and the fish. They were only about 100 yards from land. As soon as they came ashore, they saw that there was some bread there and a charcoal fire with fish cooking on it. Jesus said, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore, full of big fish, 153 of them. And in spite of there being so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and have some breakfast. None of the disciples was bold enough to ask, who are you? They knew quite well it was the Lord. Jesus then stepped forward, took the bread, and gave it to them, and the same with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after rising from the dead. And now to our reflection on these readings. I think they provide a fine ending to the first week of Easter, because they emphasize two essential aspects of the impact of the resurrection on our lives, and that is healing and transformation. We believe that in dying for us, Jesus destroyed the power that sin has over us, and in rising from the dead, he becomes the model or exemplar of the fullness of life that we are all called to. The power that sin exercises over us is well demonstrated in the gospel story of the disciples, and in particular, that of Peter. As the Gospel of John unfolds its version of the Jesus story, the disciples have encountered the risen Jesus and have received the power of the Spirit to forgive sins and to heal others, as reported in chapter 20, the preceding chapter. Yet, here they are, a rather forlorn and lost lot. And what do men often do when they are a bit lost and disconsolate? They go fishing. Clearly, John is indicating that something is missing. And I'd like to suggest that in order to truly appreciate the gift of forgiveness that one bears to others in the Spirit, one needs to appreciate it in relation to oneself. The preceding story of Jesus' passion and death told us how the disciples, and Peter in particular, abandoned Jesus. Peter and the disciples now experience what it is to be forgiven and healed by the resurrected Jesus. He comes to them with forgiveness and table fellowship. And, more than that, he establishes Peter as the shepherd to carry on his mission of feeding the sheep. Would any of our major institutions, businesses, and perhaps even our church today re-employ complete failures? But that's what Jesus does. So we have the moving scene in which Jesus prepares the meal and invites them to join him. And the initial moment of healing comes in Peter's recognition that this is the Lord. One does not just see the resurrected Jesus. After all, it is a revelation, a gift from God. In giving Peter his commission, the one thing that Jesus requires of him, and by implication, the other disciples, is love. In the biblical sense, this term tends to generally mean loyalty, commitment. If they love Jesus, that is, if they are loyal to him, they will in turn love one another, and they will love their sheep. That is, they will be completely committed to them, as Jesus is committed to them. So Peter and the disciples are healed, and the reading from the Acts of the Apostles recounts the next stage in the impact of the resurrection, and that is transformation. There are really two moments in becoming a disciple. One is to be freed from one's sins, and thereby able to be, secondly, transformed or made into a new creation, as the Gospels express it. So, in our reading from Acts, we see Peter now preaching the good news of the resurrection in the face of hostility and rejection. He is now a true disciple, a loyal disciple of his master. What is significant about Peter's sermon in the passage is that even though he commences his address to his audience of rulers of the people and elders by accusing them of crucifying Jesus, he ends his speech by joining in with them in saying, "This is the only name by which we can be saved." Peter knows that he too crucified Jesus. And so he was as much in need of Jesus' healing power as the rulers and elders of the people. Having been forgiven and healed himself, he is able to offer healing and forgiveness in an authentic way to others. So we too, we all stand in solidarity with Peter and with all those elders and rulers of the people in our need for forgiveness, for healing, and for transformation.